Okay. So one of the funny things is one of the questions I had when I was 6 years old was, who am I? Why do I have a family? What is love? And if I don't know about these things, then there's no reason to live. So I wrote that at 6 years old. My mom did the smartest thing she could do, just hide the journal from me, and then call a psychologist and say, my son has depression, you know? But, you know, she loved me. That's just the best she could do. And so I want to share with you that I really truly believe at the bottom of my heart that the reason why the world is falling apart is because we have an identity crisis, that we don't know how deep we truly are, how sacred we are, and whose we are. And I kind of want to just share kind of like how amazing our body is and how amazing our system is. And I want to start off with saying that I know one of the things that I try to do more often is to pray more frequently and to be more consistent with my prayer. But I wasn't always like that. So I'm going to go through these topics here, but I do want to share kind of a story about prayer. And maybe this will help one person here on like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take prayer more seriously now, you know? But what happened for me is at age 11, I was at Yellowstone Park, and I got chased by one of those things that starts with a W, ends with an F. Anybody think what I got chased by? I got chased by a wolf. And I was trying to do a good deed. I was like, I saw a golden retriever. We were at a condominium. I remember, it's funny, I remember the building, what type of building it was, because I used to call it condom, and my mom was like, no, condom, no, we're staying at a condominium, don't say that, you're embarrassing. But anyway, so we were staying there, and there was this beautiful golden retriever that came to our place, and it had a little tag on it, and I'm like, I'm going to go return you to your owner, because I think I know where that street is. So I'll just return you real quick. Nobody will know that I'm gone. I'll be right back. So I go up there, and I get to the top of the hill. It's snowing everywhere, so I'm sliding all over the place. And I see this lady, and she's doing barbecue. Bad news. And she's doing barbecue at Yellowstone, and the smoke's probably flying out, alerting some animal that, you know, whatever, there's some food there. And so she sees me. She's like, hey, that's my dog. I'm like, oh, cool. Here he is. And then as soon as I said, here he is, this wolf came out of nowhere, and she screamed, a wolf, and then she ran to the house and left me outside. So then I'm up there on the hill going like, okay, I'm gonna leave you guys alone. I gotta get out of here, you know? So the dog started growling, the wolf started growling, and then I just was running down the hill, and guess who was chasing me while I was running? The dog. And guess who was chasing the dog? The wolf. So I'm like in panic mode and really scared. I start knocking on other condominiums, just knocking on the, you know, and no one was answering. And so I got up to a kind of like a balcony area, kind of like this. And this was the first time. I was taught when I was raised to say that Our Father. I was born a Catholic. So that's all I knew. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. That's all I knew. So at this point, I did not pray to Our Father. I prayed the help me God, I don't want to die, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, these footsteps came up the stairs. And I thought, I'm like, this is the wolf, I'm dead. And it was the golden retriever. And I heard a voice say, hold on to me. So I grabbed this dog, and it was leading me somewhere. It was, like, pulled me, like, you know, just like, you know. So I just started going down the stairs. And I kid you not, I wish someone could make a movie out of this part. But what happened was I heard the wolf way up in the hill. And there was this huge rose bush, like it was seriously the size of 5 foot, 6 foot, this huge bush. And the only way back to the road was that I have to figure out how to either go around it or go over it. Like it was just a wall. And something said like, pick up the dog. And so I kid you not, I picked up the dog, which makes no sense at all. And I literally jumped over this 5 foot thorn thing. And then I knew I was high because I tumbled like crazy. And went to the street, and I ran to my my condominium, and my mom was there. She's like, where have you been? I'm like, I was just by a wolf. You're not going to believe it, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the Hispanic women, when you get, you know, when they don't know where you are and you're scared, they just, the first instinct is just to yell at you. You know, so like, what are you doing? I told you not to, you know, so not the comfort I wanted, but I love you, Mom, you know, wherever you are. But that was the first time I really prayed. And prayer is so important in this work that I do. I've never met with a client where I didn't pray before and ask for help. And that's what Dr. Brown taught me. He says, you have to ask for help. It's like a triangle connection with someone, you know? And you need the apex of that triangle. So, and then last story before we go into this presentation. I was in military school, because they send good kids to military school. And so I was there, and around junior year, I was like the highest rank. I was a first sergeant, okay? And I was in charge of all the bad kids in the school. And you got a military guy here who's just like, it's JROTC, it's not the real military, but just give me a chance, okay? So have mercy on me. Okay, so I was there, and they gave me the hardest company. It was called Headquarters, and they made up the company. Like, they didn't have it. It was like all these Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. We're like, where do we put the rebels of the seniors who have senioritis? Oh, yeah, we'll make Headquarters. Emmanuel, you're in charge of that. You get to wake them up in the morning. And they're going to love to see you at 6 a.m. in the morning to go drop a flag. So I'm going there doing that. And there was a time where I wanted to not be on Earth anymore. Like, I got so depressed because every day was like people yelling at me and just saying, like, leave me alone, Emmanuel. You know, like, I've only got like 6 more months in school. Like, leave me, you know. And I got so depressed that I told everyone that I'm not going to eat anymore. So I'm just going to just stop eating. And I told my mom, I'm like, and my mom was like freaking out. She's like, you should come home. Military school, it's over. Don't do it anymore. And this one lady who was a TAC officer came in and she fed me soup. And she said, don't worry, I feel this way too sometimes. Everything's going to be okay. I honestly think she was an angel, you know? And so then I prayed. I wanted to see if God was real. I know I prayed for it once, but I'm like, this time, I just want to pray one more time, and just, I'll never question that you actually exist. Just, you know, and I prayed for 3 things. I says, I know it sounds crazy. I was like, if you fulfill these 3 things, you know, so the first one was that I become the highest ranking officer in the school, okay, which was very doubtful that I could do it, but I was on my way, but it was very competitive to do that. The second thing was that we would get the highest score in military history of that school, so that people wouldn't question me. And then the third thing is that I would get a girlfriend who would comfort me during these hard times. 3 months later, I got promoted to the highest ranking officer. We got 99.9%, which is the highest score in 90 years of military distinguishment. And then I had a girlfriend who called me every morning to leave me a voice message. And then I realized, I'm like, I'll never question you again. So it seems like every 10 years, I kind of ask for a big help, and like, he just always delivers. Then this came along, the Emotion Code Body Code, which was literally started by prayer. So in 2015, I was just kind of trying to figure out, where's my phone at?
Over here.
Okay. In 2015, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anybody ever been sick and tired since sick and tired? Nobody? Just me? Okay. Adam? No? Okay. Okay. So I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. My relationship was upside down. I didn't know what I want to be in my life. My finances were upside down. I was on the dark side of the moon. Pink Floyd was singing about me. Like, I was in a bad situation. And I was praying for some help, and I found the Emotion Code. And I read the book, and some people think because I made 700 videos on YouTube that, like, I'm this gung-ho emotional guy, I must have picked up the book 12 different times. I picked it up, dropped it, picked it up, and dropped it. Why? Because I had a heart wall. I didn't know. I felt numb inside. So I always make a joke about it. If Dr. Brad came into the room and said, you're going to be a great practitioner one day, I would have been like, who are you? Get out of my room. You know, because I was so numb. And so, if you've ever felt that way, where you're like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this my mission in life? Or is there something else? Then I'm talking to you. But I'm going to talk about Emotion Code, Body Code. Also, I was certified in group healing. We're going to talk about map of consciousness, which I'm really excited about. I know you're excited about it. Just the reality of how real emotions are, how these different type of emotions really make up our identity. What the heck does AI mean, or associated imbalances? Inner voice, which is what my wife, I'm going to tell her to come up here. I'm just kidding. No, she's like, don't do that. Some different amazing testimonials of me helping somebody with dyslexia, somebody who had broadcast message, a person who had morning sickness. So we're just going to kind of go through it real quick here. And let me see. One second. The body can heal itself to heal dyslexia. Yeah, I just help the person, but I'll share that story. So this is one of my favorite quotes. Jesus didn't have an identity problem. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was, who he was. He knew where he was going. When you're that liberated, then you can serve. So I thought about that. Most of my life, I didn't know where I came from, why I was here, where I was going. So I was kind of shackled, in my opinion. And a lot of our friends and family are in this position where they don't know those things. So the highest way of acquiring happiness, in my opinion, is service. Like, if forget religion, forget moral principles. If we want to get to the basics, if you just want to get happy, just learn how to serve. But it'd be great to know who we are, where we come from, and all that great information. I just kind of took a little bit of a chart of like how bad during the C word, you know, I can say it here, but on YouTube you can't, but how bad depression and anxiety got, especially with like younger people, you know, and things are just getting worse, actually. Things are not getting better. Suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States. I mean, that's pretty sad that that's the case. And look at the numbers here, 45,979 Americans died by suicide, 2020. I mean, this is, why are people getting to that point where they're like, I can't handle life anymore? And it's the reason why is because they don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're here. And they don't understand their emotional body. They just don't understand it. I wish we went back to like first grade and they taught us, oh, by the way, you create trapped emotions. Your liver produces anger, bitterness, guilt, hatred, resentment, you know. But they didn't teach that class. We didn't get emotion 101 in first grade. So what is the emotion code? So Dr. Brad is this, a chiropractor for 20 years. And what he did was he wanted to help people who had more serious illnesses and diseases. And, you know, chiropractor can only do so much, right? So what they did is he started praying and asking for help from above to see how he can help them. And he got these downloads of how the body really works. So, for example, the liver produces anger, bitterness, guilt, hatred, resentment. We produce these small little spheres the size of a tennis ball to like a cantaloupe, and these emotions process through our body constantly. So, you know, like Artie, for example, like you probably had some time where you were very, very, let's say, sad. Like there was like, you know, have you had a moment where you felt very, very sad? Of course, right? Okay. So if you felt very, very sad, there comes a time where the faucet turns off. Maybe you just stop crying all of a sudden, and you're like, I don't know why, I just can't cry anymore. It's like I've cried out, you know, or someone turned off the faucets, you know? And so, so what is that? See, it's better to picture this, that a ball of energy went through Artie, came out, and now it's not in her body sphere anymore, and she fully processed it, right? So throughout the day, we're processing emotions all the time. And so through muscle testing, pushing down on someone's arm and asking questions, we can find out where these emotions are located. And so that's where the body code was created. And there's a thing called a governing meridian. So a governing meridian is like, it goes this like energy line that goes from your upper lip all the way to the back of your spine. And you're rubbing a magnet. I don't know if you can stand up real quick. I don't know if you can. So if you were to turn around a little bit, so let's say like I had a magnet here, I would just kind of rub his back three times and that would remove the emotion from him, right? Now if it was something inherited, I'd rub it 10 times. And then I would confirm with his body and say, did we release it? And his arm would be strong. You know, he'd sit down. Sorry, I'm using the sample. Okay, so that's kind of how the emotion code works. And these trapped emotions are, they can cause a lot of issues. They irritate the body. How many of you guys have friends that have fibromyalgia or rheumatoid?
Are you taking questions right now?
Not yet.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, you have a question too?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yeah, fibromyalgia, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so one of the things that may happen is that the doctors may prescribe you with some medicine to kind of lower down the pain, you know, but they can't get to the root cause of what's happening, you know. So fibromyalgia, if you look at the root word of fibromyalgia, it means pain from the family, you know. And so your family has caused you enough trauma where now you have pain all over your tissues. So that's one of the things that trapped emotions do. Is that they irritate the tissues. Picture like these little spheres, they're warping the tissues in your body, and by warping it, it starts creating pain. If you have hundreds of them, your body is really feeling some pain, you know, so you're like, that's all over the place, okay? The other thing that it does, it makes you very reactive. How many of you guys have friends or family members that are very reactive? Like you say something, and they're like, you snap at you, like, whoa, you know? What is that? It's usually trapped emotions. Like you're kind of waking up a trapped emotion, and now they feel anger, and it's kind of bubbling in the surface of their body, and then when you go away, it slowly goes back to their body. So that's what a reactive person does due to trapped emotions. And the other things it can cause is it can cause diseases and cancer, ADHD, Crohn's disease, I mean, numerous ailments. It can also cause depression, anxiety, bipolar, emotional stuff that you have to typically take a pill, but really it's just trapped emotions, you know? So that's basically the emotion code. The body code system is a little bit deeper. It goes until it has over 250 hyperlinks. So when I work with other energy healers, they always go, wow, it's like that's a very complex system. And so it covers like the nervous system, covers all these different types of systems, and it just goes more in depth. So I was excited to get the body code because when people came with like serious stuff, for example, dyslexia or different things, it's the body code that would help them out, not just the emotion code. So when people say they're a body code practitioner, that means they use the whole system, like the body code system, which technically the emotion code is in there. You know, it's just one of the charts. It's like an appendage of it. Okay, so group healing. I'm actually going to do a group healing on you guys today. So who's excited? Anyone excited about that? Okay, cool. So, and what's kind of cool about it is that, besides it's really hot over here, by the way, so I'm just like, you can turn on the fans. Yeah, if you want to turn on the fan, it'd be great.
Please be compassionate. Turn the fans on.
Please. So, with group healing, it's really interesting. There's two ways to do it. You can use the body code, or you could use, I got certified in group healing. It's two different methods. But basically, let's say, for example, you and I, we all witnessed 9/11, right? We can say, if I were to muscle test everyone, everyone gave me permission, I would say, does everyone have a panic, you know, because of that trauma? And it says yes, then I can release it from all of you, because technically you guys all have that same emotion, you know? So, that's my baby leaving. Okay. Was it that bad, love? Like, okay. So that's one way. Another way is like I put you in this container. I know this sounds kind of out there, but I put you in a container. It's like a healing container. Some of you guys know this word, zero-point field energy. Put you in a zero-point field energy. Yeah. And then basically in there, there's multiple modalities working on you. And basically, it's like a 12-hour healing. So I do these group healings for 2 years now, and I'll put like a theme. For example, next week has to do with healing your children. Like I have a lot of clients who they're like concerned about their wayward son or their wayward daughter, and they don't know how to help them. So there's a lot of loopholes. So for example, you have a daughter, I believe, right? You showed me. So let's say she's like worried about her. Maybe she gets very anxious all the time, you know? I would remove an inherited emotion from her, which then affects her mom, but then also affects her daughter. And now all three of them got a healing. You see, so there's kind of like loopholes where I can work with the daughter and work with her and work with her mom, but I'm technically only working with her. So that's what I do with group healing. So there's a lot of cool benefits of doing it. I got a download from Heavenly Father that I do Sunday healings for free. And it's like we allow Heavenly Father connecting with your higher self and to remove anything that the Creator thinks that would really benefit you in your spiritual journey. And 3,000 people join that every Sunday. So it's kind of like a gift. And Heavenly Father said, don't ever charge anybody for that. That's just a gift that I want to give. So, all right. So with the map of, how many people have seen this map? Map of consciousness? Okay. So this is one of my favorite maps here, just because it tells you that, this is a really powerful quote, by the way. It helps if you can remember that everyone is doing the best from their level of consciousness. Okay? So before Jesus came to earth, we were below the 200. We were, I think, in between 0 to 100. But then when Jesus came, now the whole earth is around 200. And basically, we kind of bounce between neutrality, courage, and pride. So if you think about it, like, it's kind of interesting. When people go to the military and they go to war, it actually increases their frequency a little bit because they're having courage, you know, or they have, they have courage that they're, you know, fighting for something higher than them, you know. But you can easily fall into pride as well, you know, or anger. If you can see, unfortunately, what sometimes religion does is it puts us in the bottom of the map, which is shame and guilt. You notice that? So shame and guilt are the lowest there. And we kind of bounce all over the place. So how many of you guys have a mother who made hot cookies, like warm cookies, chocolate chip cookies? Anybody? Okay, now I'm getting hungry. But basically, that actually would increase the room level of consciousness to 500. So it wasn't the fact that you loved her cookies, it was the fact that all of you guys experienced a higher level of consciousness because of her intention behind the cookies. So it's that love. If you hear also like a cat purring or a bird singing, all of a sudden you're kind of, you just change a little. You're like, oh, like life is great. 500. That bird, that cat just took you to 500. But then we also have weird animals like Komodo dragons who like leave their babies and just take off and will eat a human, doesn't care about it, has no feelings, aka a narcissist. They're on the lower end of the scale, okay? But what's interesting is if you can learn muscle testing, this is interesting, is that you can actually muscle test where your friend is at their current time. So for example, let's say you muscle test your friend and he's at neutrality, like 250, okay? This consciousness expands way more. There's another chart that I would recommend you guys Google later on. Look for the map of consciousness and it looks different. It's more like a grid, and it has like different charts. It's like more of a chart. And what's interesting about it is that you can tell how they think about God, what's their predominant emotions, how they receive information by what level they're in the chart. And it fluctuates. But then imagine that if you want to live a peaceful life, you have to live a life of forgiveness. Easily forgive people. How do you do that? Understand where they are in the map of consciousness and that it makes sense why they're at that level and why they're treating you that way. Does that make sense? Because if someone's at the 700 level, which is like Jesus Christ enlightenment level, 700 to 1,000, they're going to treat you a little differently because they're just on a different level. But if you have a friend that's really mean to you or whatever, blah, blah, and they're at level 70 and they're grieving over something, then you're not so hard on yourself going like, oh, I don't know why he was so mean to me today. Wait, what level is he at? He's grieving about something. Maybe I should talk to him and ask more questions next time and see what he's doing. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, my brother died. Or my neighbor died and I've been grieving for the last 2 weeks. Oh, okay, sorry to hear that. Boom, you boosted his consciousness up. Oh. Anyone have any questions about the map of consciousness? Okay. So it's a very, very beautiful thing. And by the way, any type of energy medicine that you do, you usually bump up in the map. So if you get a theta healing, Reiki healing, or you send Cephi frequencies to yourself, you'll usually bump up. You know, so it's kind of cool. But the goal is, hopefully with JJ's teachings and what we do in our life, with our habits, meditation, prayer, reading enlightened books, we start hitting more of the higher levels of 550 to 600 to 650, you know. another kind of cool thing that Dr. David Hawkins talks about is that I'm trying to remember where the number is. I wonder if it's 540. No, it's like over 500. Okay, so if you see where it says love, 500, yeah. See that? What's really interesting is that if you notice when Jesus goes around and heals people, he asks certain questions. Like he goes like, hey, do you have faith? You know, and basically what he's trying to do is he's trying to increase their frequency by asking the proper questions. If you notice the, I'm trying to remember what the girl's name is. The one where he said, Tabitha Kumi, who was that?
Mary?
No, it was the young girl, Jeriel, was it? Jeriel, we'll try that. But he went to this person's house and raised the young girl from the dead, said, oh, she's only sleeping. What was in that room before he did that? Do you guys remember? Yeah, what's something that he kind of shooed from the room?
He shooed the mourners and the flute players.
Exactly, because guess what they were doing?
Bringing down the energy.
Burning down the frequency. They were at level 75. Okay. And he's like, I can't do a miracle here if you guys are at 75. Mm-hmm. They leave, and then he comes in there, brings his love, brings his joy, and now he's at a higher level, and then he's able to perform the miracle. You see, so he says no miracle has been done under 500. He's done something to increase their frequency before the miracle happened. And so that's why he says, you've made yourself whole. It's because sometimes they were a part of that process. Does that make sense? So it's really interesting. He talks about that. Okay, let's keep going.
Is it guidable power versus force?
Yes, it is. Let's see if this works.